call to order the regular meeting of the City Council for 24 acres on Monday, January 13, 2014, at 7 p.m. First order of business and roll call.
Susan Jones, present.
Kathy Schnell, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Next item on the agenda is the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. For a regular council meeting, 7/9/2013, council has had an opportunity to review those minutes. I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of December 9th.
I'll second.
Great, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. There were no meetings attended. The next item on the agenda is 6.0, public hearings and public comments. I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention again that members of council are prohibited by law from participating in the discussion or deliberation of items that are not specifically identified on this agenda. So asking questions of council in this section, they will not be able to answer your questions. So if anyone would like to address council at this time, yes, sir?
Patrick Stanton, 128 Sheep Zone. We'll take one and pass it down, please. Take one and pass it down, please. On June the 14th, 2012, Mr. Ron Cox, consultant, conducted a retreat for our council and mayor and staff regarding city goals. Mr. Cox was previously the city manager of Friendswood, and he runs a consulting company now. On July the 23rd, 2012, 18 months ago, Resolution 2012-94 was adopted titled Goals and Governance Plan. At that time, I asked Mr. Cox if individual goals and objectives should be made that support the city plan. He replied yes. As with any goal or objectives, they need to be reviewed. I personally believe that these goals and objectives should be set and reviewed prior to the budgeting process, since the goals may include requested expenditures. I know the city and council have had many items to consider, Mayor Gate for one. However, it is time to make Police Chief Gate, sorry about that there. However, it is time to review and tweak the plan and prepare some goals and objectives. In this document, the Goals and Governance Plan, it states, in this document, staff expects council to develop SMART objectives, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. In this vein, I've kind of sky-blued some thoughts as a beginning. Should you have any questions, I'll be glad to discuss them after this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else choose to address council this time? Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to address counsel regarding the conflict of interest.
Could you please state your name?
Sarah Andrews, 624 East 4th Avenue. The conflict of interest that I see is like the ongoing issue with Massey and him being hired. From a legal standpoint, Mr. Gregg's relationship...
That issue will be... is actually on the agenda.
Okay.
And that issue will be discussed at that point in time on the agenda.
Okay. But I can't discuss as to what I think is the conflict of interest.
It's is it relevant to the legality of Chief?
Well, not necessarily the legality, but from an opinion standpoint, I think that there's a conflict of interest that for the relationship of the length of time that they've known each other, him representing the city and both Mr. Stahl and the city, and the fact that their relationship has much more roots than just the city relationship here. And Mr. Stahl. I mean, he has a much longer relationship with Mr. Stahl than he does with the city of Strikers.
As far as the addressing of Chief Massey, that section needs to come under Section 8.2, or rather, discussion
well, any legal
of
representation,
that component.
But
however,
in the instance
if you are concerned about an issue that doesn't specifically deal with the legality of Chief
well,
Massey's
any legal
employee,
representation, that Dick Gregg can have for the city and both Stahl.
So if you're not referencing Chief Massey
okay.
specifically, then...
Not specifically Chief Massey, yes. But I mean, it's a broad spectrum of any legal representation that Dick Gregg would have with both Stahl and the city of Strikers. Because their relationship has many roots. I mean, he's in El Lago, when he was on the Parks Board, Mr. Gregg was representing El Lago back in the 70s.
Well,
I mean, there's...
That's not true.
Okay. Well, there's much deeper roots. Going all the way back to Napa Bay, along with the legal representation from his offices to his sister-in-law and her real estate company. That's it.
Thank you.
Want to look here, but she was addressing, or he was addressing the citizen, not council.
He's also a officer of the city.
We're allowed to do that?
The officer of the city, I believe, is allowed to address
during public comments.
I believe so. But I appreciate your point of order. Anyone else choose to address council this time?
Now, where do we start? I originally did a public information request for emails referenced to myself and to a Facebook page called Joe's at Short Acres. And I'm just going to start off with one because it was 117 pages, roughly, of information. One was such email in reference to Chief Massey's incident that it kind of spanned what was presented to council, saying basically one document was missed and were not provided to the state, and this is that email. Just as a point of order, there are several things that have to be done when we hire a police chief in Shore Acres, and there are city ordinances, and some of those he has to have a personnel file, he has to do substance abuse testing. If he goes as a police officer, they have to fill out a T-close application.
At this point, I'm going to have to ask you to address the legality.
This is hiring a police officer. This is not Massey.
Thank you.
As a police chief, for sure. Okay. Anyway, you have to fill out a T-close application, and that applicant must go through the agency's application process. And that application has to go to T-close. My understanding is that one piece of paper... was possibly the L1 form. The L1 form is just basically a certification document saying that all these other things were done. Well, the problem with that is drug screenings, psychological exams, the L5 form, which I believe is asking other opponents of their information, a criminal history check, a proof of education, a proof of honorable discharge, fingerprints recovered by DPS, a proof of citizenship, a disposition of criminal records. And this all has to be done pre-employment. It's also certified on the L1 that there was a weapons qualification within 12 preceding months, a submission of that L5 form to the commission, they conducted a background investigation, obtained consent form to review the work history information of previous employers, obtained a copy of the applicant's commission record, and contact all previous law enforcement agencies. Employers for this work history information, or also the work information, this all has to be done within 30 days prior to the hiring date. To say that it was just one form would be wrong, especially in the hiring of Chief Massey. Also,
I was understanding that my employer was contacted because of information that I wrote on Facebook where I said here in front of council is a private citizen. That was through that. I have those here. I don't know if you're aware of it. I did do a public information request and it was authorized by the mayor of the council. My return was it was not. Therefore, I have official agreements that I'm providing to council in reference to that. Also, I do have an email on election day, which was forwarded by David Stahl to the mayor, a candidate of his choosing, using city property. That's a violation. I think there is also a standard of conduct. That's just what he gave me. There's probably many more. I just don't know where to ask or haven't done with that investigation. But it needs to be looked into, and I hope that grievance answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address council this time? Yes, ma'am.
Jordan Bay, 616 Baywood. I wrote it so I don't stumble. I'm not a good public speaker. I will start off on a good note. Included in the last newsletter from the mayor, a statement to the effect that he planned to review all programs and the budget to determine what essential services were required from the city. Many of us proposed that work to be accomplished last summer, but when the budget was approved, that advice was ignored. It's nice to see that the mayor now recognizes that the city cannot remain viable and expenditures continue to be approved at a large deficit. So kudos for that. Now, according to one citizen of Shore Acres, copies of emails he has written, which are critical of the city and some of the officials, have been sent to that citizen's employer. The person responsible for that activity should be terminated, effective immediately. Retribution for a citizen exercising his constitutional rights is unethical, unprofessional, inappropriate, and places the city and that person in legal and monetary jeopardy. Okay, the third one. Citizens have a right to know who authorized and why the repair of a public works vehicle in Crosby. When I requested this public information request, I was told this information was restricted. I got a letter from the lawyer because it was a subject of a criminal investigation. The city attorney referred it to the state attorney general. The police department knows nothing about this criminal investigation. Now, why does a citizen receive two different answers to one question? And finally, on the chief of police, there's three candidates. There's only one that I would recommend because the other two, if you'll Google their names and do some research, they're not what Shore Acres needs. And I think Troy Henderson is what Shore Acres needs. We need less drama. We need enforcement. We need responsibility and accountability that's been lacking in the city for quite a while. I ran for city council. I didn't win, and that's okay. I voted for some of y'all up there, though. And I'm glad I'm not sitting up there right now because I would be totally embarrassed at the state of affairs that our city is in right now. My late husband, Wayne, 12 years, he volunteered for this city up to the time he died. He would take a chemo treatment all day and then come to council that night for a council meeting. There was no city administrator. It was just mayor and council. And it didn't get this bad at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else care to address council this time? We're not hearing. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Item 7.1, City Administrator David Stahl, General Activity Report. David?
Good evening. I just have a couple of things I want to mention, and I'll let the Public Works Director or Police Chief elaborate if they desire. Where it relates to their department. We have had a very smooth transition to report police department for dispatch for the police department. I've been working very closely with that agency. Also, preparing for the transition from the Harris County radio system. LaPorte is migrating to the Houston system, and in that process, we also will be migrating and have become partners with the City of Houston in their system. So I've been attending the Houston Partners meeting. We'll continue to do that. This is really good for the city in that we get in on the ground floor. It gives us an opportunity to have an impact on how our radio system will operate and how the radios will function themselves. There are some radios of ours that will not be supported by the Houston system. They're in the next generation of radio systems ahead of where Harris County is presently at. That means we have some radios that won't work on the public safety tier, but I have talked with the City of Houston about putting those on Tier 1, which will allow us to continue to utilize those radios for our Public Works Department and Public Works for Emergency Management. So we are not losing any value there at all. The Byway Waterline Project, I just want to mention that and let Sutton expand on it, but today they tie it in at the Fairfield Inn. That line now, which is a replacement for an existing AC line, is complete and hydrants are on it, and we are already seeing a really substantial impact to capacity in the water system. And that's just with the replacement of that line. I do have the flow numbers, and if Sutton doesn't have those when he speaks, I'll give them to him. But the numbers are really quite substantial in terms of flow. This is not the pumper flow, so it'll be even greater. And it looks like these hydrants that today are painted red are going to be painted another color, showing that they're much higher. The water plant. You know, it seems like we can never quite get Water Plant 1 online. We did have the rescheduled, twice rescheduled, substantial completion inspection last Thursday. I was there and participated in that. Both the wells are functional. All three of the booster pumps are functional. The chlorine system is functional. The generator is functional. Ground storage tanks are in service. Pressure vessels functional. I did have conversations with all the players that were there, and from the very beginning in the engineering, they did not specify a particular control valve that is required to make our system function. We had a moment of clarification on that. That work has been ordered, and as soon as that valve control is in place, we will be able to throw a switch and have the system online. David Sutton now from his office can see and operate that equipment, and we have a meeting scheduled Wednesday with Schrader Engineering, who's the subcontractor on the SCADA system, to start expanding the SCADA controls to be as robust as what we had put into our agreement. That's not part of substantial completion, but that will get us fully functional. This last week, we had a workers' compensation audit. The result of that is that we expect to see reduced costs for our next sample. That audit is an audit of how we have people classified and what workers' compensation rates we pay. Quite a bit of work has been ongoing with the chief application process. Saturday we did have a reception here. It was, I think, well attended. All three applicants were here, and the public had an opportunity to meet with them and ask them questions. And while we scheduled it for an hour, it went for about 2.5 hours before the last person left. All three applicants stayed to the very end until the last person had asked the last question. So that was admirable. Work continues on the Bigger Waters Act. That is the flood insurance rate issue that we have pending at the federal level, trying to get some relief before that kicks in October. The Senate did have scheduled a vote on that of the Homeowner Flood Insurance Affordability Act, which is a piece of legislation that will suspend the effects of the of that act, of the original act that raises rates for 2 years. There's some discussion of those who would rather make the fix final and not just delay it. But unfortunately, because they unexpectedly had votes to pass unemployment insurance extension, it bumped our Flood Insurance Affordability Act. So it is now out of the queue to come back behind that other work. That said, while we really do still expect that there's a lot of pushback and they'll make some changes to that Bigger Waters Act and the in flood insurance rates, it's still an uphill battle. We're supporting the Bay Area Houston Economic Partnership in that effort, and they have made trips to Washington, D.C. and visited with a delegation on that, and we continue to monitor that progress. And that is my report.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from council?
I have one question. So I sent an email last week and just, you know, y'all been busy, haven't heard anything back. Schrader Engineering Company, are those people that are overseeing once we can get everything really going?
No, Schrader is a subcontractor just for the computer controls.
Okay.
The primary contractor is R&B Group, and that's the contractor that Schrader works for. And then our engineering firm is Cobb Finley. Schrader also works for Cobb Finley because they went to Schrader for expertise on the computerized system.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from council at this time?
No, sir.
Are there any questions from citizens at this time? None appearing. We move on to the next item on the agenda. Acting Police Chief Troy Harrison, monthly department report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've forwarded to each of you a copy of the calls for service for December. We are in a period of transition, and this report's also on a period of transition because, quite frankly, I'm not sure what you guys want to see. So we're going to work on that. Whoever the new chief is, I'll work with him or myself, and we'll develop this down into something that makes sense to you. Right now, what you've got on here are some calls for service, which is typical of what we respond to each month. There's nothing that jumps out at you. There's some things that's missing from here that I think should jump out at you. It's December, and there wasn't one theft or one burglary. So I think that speaks well of our community. I think it speaks well from the people in this community to call in and report things that are that they're seeing that they know is not right, so we respond to it. So instead of seeing a burglary, they're seeing suspicious person calls. With that being said, Mr. Stahl mentioned the transition to a port for dispatch. It was as smooth a transition as I think we could have ever imagined. We've made the transition both professionally and personally. I've had all the officers go by and meet the dispatchers themselves. They have to have a bond. Unless you do it, you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a bond between dispatchers and police officers there that gets there, and it makes for better services in the city, trust me. So with that being said, that is my report for tonight.
Are there any questions from council at this time? None appearing. Are there any questions from citizens at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Sterling Bay, 626 Baywood. Was there a public vehicle from the Public Works Department injured in December?
Was the vehicle injured? It sustained some damage, yes, ma'am.
Can you say what kind of damage it was?
It was a gunshot through the door.
And the police report was written how long after that?
I don't have the date, but I was notified of it the next day and immediately did my investigation.
Yes, sir.
Paul Prost, 111 East 4th Avenue. Is that the same vehicle that reported of having a drill bit go through the door?
That is correct.
So that was false, the initial report?
That is correct.
So was there falsifying evidence or falsifying documents?
Not that I'm aware of.
It was initially reported as one, that might be another. That would be a falsifying evidence. That's fine. I will withdraw the question.
Are there any other questions at this time?
I've got one question.
Yes, ma'am.
For clarification, since it has been breached. To your knowledge, Chief Harrison, is there any open investigation with the Harris County District Attorney's Office into that incident with our public works vehicle, to your knowledge?
from the police department view, I was the investigating officer. I called the district attorney. They refused charges. I closed the case.
Thank you very much for your time, Chief.
Thank you. 7.3, Public Works Director David Sutton, monthly department report. David?
Good evening. Water purchase was 6.2 million gallons for the month of December. There were a couple major water leaks that contributed to a slight increase of 5.6 million from the month prior. There were not any special projects in the month of December. However, we did send several public works employees to a safety class at no cost to the city. Seminar was for pressure on trenching. Trenching confined space. It was a two-day seminar that they attended. That's all I had on the monthly report, and I was going to elaborate on the water line that we just had installed out there on Byway. The line is in service. The hydrants are in service. There is still one 4-inch tie-in on the backyard of Forest that will be done, I believe, tomorrow morning. Weather permitting. Outside of that, all of the cleanup has been done. Everything is in service. And as far as the increase in water volume, we've noticed a huge increase already through a little bit of testing this morning. There is a fire hydrant at Seagrove and Byway that originally, prior to this line going in, was at 598 gallons per minute. The new result of the 8-inch water line puts that fire hydrant at 970 gallons per minute. It's a huge increase there. Metal lawn at Byway saw the old line was at 595. On the new 8-inch, puts that hydrant at 960 gallons per minute. Fairfield and Byway was at 482 and has now come up to 920. We did about 10 or 12 today. Just for my curiosity, I had had a fire out on Forest and Miramar before and had to use that fire hydrant, so I decided to go ahead and see what that did for us. The prior reading was 509 gallons per minute. The new reading jumped to 730 gallons per minute. So we saw a substantial increase in the back of the city as well. And I would suspect we'll see even higher numbers come up once the Shorecrest line comes in. So we're kind of anticipating seeing that. And that's all I have.
Very well. Are there any questions from council at this time? Are there no questions from citizens at this time?
I'd like to give Public Works an attaboy for going around and trimming the trees in the city, and also the fact that the water was cut off at night when people are sleeping. I don't know whether you requested that or the contractor, but that was a good move.
That's his word.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir?
Heavy trash pickup for this month?
Yes, sir. I got an email actually just yesterday back finally. There's been two problems with them. One, they've been going through a couple different supervisors, so the contact has not been very well. We did go through the sales rep finally, so we got in touch with him. I got an email back from him. They've had a truck down all this week, except for the first day, so they only got about 12 homes the first day. But they said they will be back out beginning tomorrow and should finish up for the end of the week. So.
That seems to have happened before.
Yes, sir, it has. Absolutely.
So the question, somebody on that? What's the latest information on the water line on Shorecrest towards
it's on the agenda for tonight.
It is?
Yes, ma'am.
Did
Sarah Andrews, 624 East Forest Avenue. My other question is about the trash pickup down at the end of the street where they were doing the construction.
Yes, ma'am.
Our trash is, I mean, we they didn't pick up last week, and it's starting to smell bad.
Okay. Yeah. Normally the way we've handled that, if you don't have a trash pickup done that day, make sure you call us and we can get them back out, and if worse comes to worst, we can actually come down there ourselves and pull it to the end of the street. That way it does get picked up.
Okay. Okay.
We'll make sure of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Paul Colesworth, Space Force again. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. I was actually getting in my car, go to work on a time schedule, and I noticed there was flooding between my house and my neighbor's houses. I thought it was the pool next to us. Went over there, checked. It was obviously overflowing. I found a leak. I did call Public Works, and they were there within 5 to 10 minutes. They explained, Mr. Sutton himself came out and explained what the problem was. It was actually a 2-inch feed line along in the city. By the time I came home that night, it was completed. It was barricaded. Yeah, they had sand in it. It was good. Today we found out they're still a leak. They tested it and they're going to come back and fix it. But I was pretty impressed with how fast and the work they did, you know, especially, you know, stopping any further damage than the property after the stuff has been handled.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I do have that. There's the holes that they dug on the west side of Old 146,
yes,
close to where I know that, and another yellow lined off and everything. Have we done those, or those the county? Or
it's actually City of LaPorte. I actually just discovered it about 3 o'clock today. City of LaPorte is getting ready to do some work on a 3-inch or 4-inch force main. They've exposed those for our contractor. So
okay.
That was City of LaPorte out.
I spent the weekend making sure nobody, cave cat, small child, dog, or whatever, because it doesn't keep them from crawling up underneath
right.
The tape.
Yes.
So you might want to reiterate that concern. And since it's been brought up, I just have a couple of questions, so I'll keep it vague. Are we down one public and work employee due to the December 16th incident?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I understand because I found out because we make death call removals in Crosby. So the vehicle was sent to Crosby Paint and Body
correct.
Rather than our usual repair shop, which would typically be the dealer.
No, I wouldn't say the regular dealer. I stopped using them. We've used them for oil changes, but their body work, we have never used them since I've been here. They're way too expensive. We've had 2 or 3 repairs done by Crosby Paint and Body now for body work of vehicles.
We've had to have body work done on 2 or 3 of our vehicles, other than this one. Okay, and you say it's less expensive. When's the last time that you actually got an estimate, being that we are a preferred customer with AC Collinsford?
We quoted it.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time? Speaker of the hearing, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Thank you very much, David. And if council doesn't have any objection, we'll excuse the chief and the public works director for the rest of the meeting. Thank you very much, gentlemen. You may stay or you may go as you see fit. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is consideration approval of invoices, item 8.1. If council has had an opportunity to review invoices, I'll entertain a motion at this time. Is there a second?
No second.
Oh, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. Excuse me. Next item on the agenda is item 8.2, presentation and discussion of the city attorney's finding in regard to legal issues if any related to the city's employment of Mike Massey as a temporary acting chief of police. Dick, you would be so kind as to enlighten us on what you've discovered?
Sure. First, I'd like to clear up one thing. I'm 74 years old. I came here in 1965 to this area. I incorporated National Bay in 1970, and I've been there 1 year ever since. I'm the city attorney for Kima, Webster, Arcola, Nassau Bay, and we do the prosecution in Lee City and in Mandeville. I've been city attorney in Seabrook. I've been special counsel to LaPorte for different matters. I can't help who I know, but it doesn't create a conflict. Surely it's not a test. You have to not know somebody in order to represent a city. I don't think that's the test. I know Dave Strong. I've known him forever, but I never have represented El Laco, though. That's one city I can remember. The issue is and the way it's listed on the agenda, is legal issues, if any, related to this city's employment of Michael Massey as a temporary acting chief. If any, is a significant couple of words, because I don't think there are any real issues. Chief Massey was a short-term interim employee. T-Close has an administrative rule. It requires the filing of a form they call L1 for a new chief. And there was no L1 filed for Mr. Massey. There is an exception to the L1 requirement that if the appointment is temporary and interim, no L1 is needed, but there should be, as they put it, a letter from the city informing T-Close of the interim status. That letter is not sent within 30 days. It wasn't sent at all. Such filings are typically within 30 days, but it invalidates nothing, as L1 or such a letter is not a legal precondition to taking action as the chief of police. Whenever a new person begins the duties, the documentation by L1 or letter is expected within a reasonable time, usually 30 days. Neither one occurred. That is an alleged failure to comply with an administrative rule, but it's nothing more. That's all it is. I spoke with Kay Wilson, the Commissioner on Law Enforcement, the Executive Assistant at T-Close, and she referred me to the agent in charge of Region 4. That's our region. He was familiar with this matter and these facts. His view is paraphrased above what I just said. The chief was interim. He's no longer there. You cannot backdate it on one, and you shouldn't. Or such a letter, or the chief was here such a brief time. There's nothing more to do. He said that cities frequently forget this step as an interim measure on an interim employee. And if he were still the interim chief, such a letter, even if tardy, would be the cure. But there's nothing left to do. Agent stopped. This is the man in charge of this region. Said that this is no big deal. And I agree with him. That's my opinion. Now, with regard to actions that he took, he did terminate the employment of one person, but the mayor could have done that. The council could have done that. It could have been done by cities fire people in different ways. The whole issue is whether you agree with the reasons that person was terminated and not whether or not that chief had his L1 file with the T-Close. So I don't think this is a significant issue. You can make a big deal out of it if you want to, but I don't think you should, because I don't think it makes any difference.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions from council at this time?
Just for clarification purposes, the person that you were referencing as far as termination was Sergeant Cantu and not...
No. Didn't he terminate somebody after that?
Oh,
no. Same one? Okay. I knew he had terminated somebody. So, yeah, sure. Then if that is not an issue, you either did or didn't. You've already dealt with Cantu, but you dealt with him again now. I guess he's been terminated a second time?
No, it's pending.
So, okay. All right. So it'd be the same one.
Okay, just one.
Same one we dealt with before. But yeah, I thought there was another one too. But,
well, that was available.
But whoever it was, the issue is whether or not there were grounds for removal of that officer and not who did it.
So, okay, question for you.
Yeah.
Just a simple question. Now, as that interim chief, as you talked to Region 4's commander there on that T-Close, that interim chief basically... did he carry full rights as a police officer? In other words,
my understanding, he did.
So he carried full rights.
He was a peace officer.
So he was able to carry his weapon, yes. Able to act if he did.
He didn't file the form he should have filed.
Right, we're just on that form.
Yeah, that's all it is. So far as I'm concerned, I think that's true, that he'd had his peace officer licenses and has all along. And he's acted in those roles in many, many areas, Pasadena included.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that answer.
Are there any other questions from council this time? Any citizens? Start down at the end. Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Moon, 3342 Miramar. Can you tell me what is an L1 requirement?
The form. The L1 is a form that is to be filed that sets forth things such as what were mentioned earlier, like fingerprints and criminal history and things of that nature, and it's a matter of disclosing what all those things were. It should have been taught. But it doesn't. Most cities, they'll first put somebody in a role like that, and then they get around to doing this, and here they didn't get done. But it's not something that has to be done before they take office.
So do we know that he had all those requirements, even though he had, the
form is a formality? I don't personally know that, but I assume that he did because of his history with the city of Pasadena and other law enforcement agencies.
We're saying as citizens, so is
I don't recommend this is the way to do things, and I think the L1 should be filled out and filed, but I don't think it's the end of the world. And as Agent Stout says, it's no big deal, but that it's semantics. Well, maybe it still should be done.
Well,
but it doesn't.
I think it's not semantics. If he doesn't, that's not my word. And if he doesn't
have those
things, so I guess it's still a concern if he, for the actions that he did as the acting DC.
Well, he didn't arrest anybody. He didn't arrest anybody as a chief.
I'm sorry, I thought I was
talking,
but okay.
No, go ahead. I thought it was a question. I don't know if you need an answer, but.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you'd get the form filed, and, but you shouldn't backdate it, and you can't do anything about it because he was gone before it could be cured. So if he were still there, we'd cure it with the file. But we can't do that, so that's where we are.
Yes, sir?
All across 111 East Force Avenue. I know you asked his fault for a question if he still maintained his license. I didn't answer it. I didn't hear the answer.
I understand that he's still a peace officer.
Was that, do you know? I mean, you got her.
I understand he's a peace officer.
Okay, my understanding is since 2008 when he resigned from Pasadena, it allowed his license to expire. And T-Close is very clear that if your license is suspended, revoked, or expired, you do not have a license. Okay, my main concern is on December 9th, where we're sitting in this hearing, he said, when we asked him about covering the 11-3 shift, you know how he does that, and he said sometimes he goes to those scenes. One, he said that he identified himself as a police officer. He showed him his badge. He also said that because of his contract, he could not wear a uniform. He is not a police officer, doesn't have a license. If he presented himself as a police officer, that could be a felony.
Well, but anyway, you know, you have that opinion, and you've taken that downtown, and I don't know what.
I have not taken that downtown.
Well,
but
that's not an issue for this city. That's something for some other governmental agency to deal with. It's not.
It is an issue if it's our citizens within our city.
It is not our issue at this time to do, because we don't have the jurisdiction to file, to take any kind of criminal charge here. Except
and when we have attorneys, you know, every day they go to court. And you have two sides. You have a defense attorney that will tell you that my defendant is absolutely innocent of murder. You have a district attorney that will say he is absolutely guilty. Somewhere in between there is the truth.
And every city has bloggers and people that do what you're doing, and that's just to make sure the business.
My understanding is you're paid by the city to defend the city,
yes.
and that's your benefit.
That's right.
And that's where your position is. I completely understand that.
Okay, thank you. And I understand what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Sarah Andrews, 624 East Coast Avenue. I think that where we're all coming from is the fact of the moral and the ethical values here. I mean, we can skip the gray line, and we see right here, but is that where our city is going? Is that really where we want to be?
I don't think you want to be there. I think you want to file
those
kind of forms on time.
And I'm sorry?
I think you want to file those kind of forms on time. They're supposed to be filed. They should be filed.
Well,
I'm
allowed to ask questions without you arguing with me, or not? I think that it's the values issue that we have a problem with. I think it's the supervisor's not being held accountable. He actually didn't do all the backup work in order to hire him, even though he's an interim, even though he's an interim chief, and he's relieved of any significant administrative issues, you know, because he was only intermittent. Chief Massey was.
You mean interim?
Yeah.
All right.
It's also more important than several steps, ordinance wise, and it's covered by the occupation code, which is not by defense, which could be criminal on this offense.
So the overall question is
you're fine.
Was there any wrongdoing?
It wasn't handled correctly, but you can't cure it at this point, and it doesn't have a legal effect at this point. It's time to move on and get a new chief. And the rest of this is just hollering.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I've got just a question about the process itself. Is it L1 form? Yes. Is that a simple form, or does it require
What he indicates is that when it's an interim chief, they don't need to follow the formal L1 approach. They can do it with a letter. But we didn't even have a letter to that. But the letter is an informal way you deal with an interim chief instead of a permanent person. If it was somebody that's going to be there full time for a long time, on a regular basis, then you do the L1. You can do the L1 for an interim, or you can send a letter. Neither one got it.
I'm a little confused on the chief. past he was hired, did he have law enforcement credentials to act as a police officer?
My understanding is he did.
He had credentials. They're up to date, whatever is needed for him to go out and arrest somebody.
That's my understanding. I didn't see them because I don't do that. That's not my role. But.
Well, I just want to get that clarified because we paid him as a chief.
Right.
And if he was just an administrative chief, then we should have paid him a lot less from a taxpayer view, you know.
I understand.
And of course, we kept him on the payroll as a high-paying chief. Okay, so. All right, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Could I make a comment? Just for clarification, there is an exception to the L1 for an interim chief, which would be a letter, which I didn't realize I needed to send, but I should have sent. We have sent one for our interim chief at present. The L1 is more complicated than a single form. It documents a whole host of other things. Chief Massey was a law enforcement officer. The license doesn't expire. It goes active or inactive in his status. My expectation, and I think council's expectation, was that he would take whatever steps were necessary to reactivate his license to fulfill the duties that we hired him for. This council made the selection, members of council did the interviews. He was handled as we would handle any other employee outside of the police department, in that we did a pre-employment physical, we did our drug scheme training, we did all of the same processes that we would normally do. He was hired with a resolution that set out his some of his tasks, which was to do a assessment of the police department, which is above and beyond what a chief would normally do and would justify additional pay beyond performing services. We had to do over again. We had to do it a little differently, but there was nothing done behind closed doors or under the table or intentionally to create any controversy.
I agree with that. Are there any other questions at this time?
Only thing I would say is if that's a standard we're using and we're not aware of things that need to be done, you probably need to do an audit of all your records, all your backgrounds on a police officer currently hired, and that needs to make sure it's all done. It's all that's such required. If that's an internal audit or if that needs to come in from TCOS to make sure your records are straight, we need to make sure when they left their last employment or when they got hired here that something didn't happen. We have officers, even in the sheriff's office, that get accused of sexual assault and then immediately resign. That investigation is never completed, it's never closed. You do not want to hire those officers, okay? If you're not doing the backgrounds, you're not doing the paperwork, it's, you know, those things are put in place by the occupational code, it's put in TCOS for a reason, and it's for our safety. And as a standard, we demand an audit.
So they're good standards that they say they're, that's why they have them there. But and there's nobody saying you shouldn't follow it, nobody's saying you shouldn't follow the form.
We should. Well, we haven't.
You know, we haven't, but we need to. And we are now.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
David Jennings, 1017 West 4th Avenue. Thank you for coming.
Sure.
Your agenda item tonight is your findings regarding to legal actions. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what you looked at? You said earlier that you're not aware of former Chief Massey's status, but it's your understanding. Can you tell me how you came to that understanding that he did have an active license?
I asked if he had an active license, and I could tell from his history and his resume that he obviously was a peace officer because he's had an extensive experience.
Right. There's no question he was a peace officer, but was he an active peace officer?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that one way or the other, but I'm told that he was, but I don't know that.
Okay. Well, I have a public information request from TCOS. He was not.
Okay.
Just so we're clear. And Mr. Saul just said something that was new to me tonight. Mr. Saul just said that during the hiring process, it was his expectation that Chief Massey would then become an active officer. Is that what I heard?
That he would meet whatever requirements there are.
Well, in a law enforcement agency,
there's a position that's called head of agency. And the head of agency is the person who's responsible for all of those forms from the L1 to the F5.
And that with all due respect, I'm not talking about forms. I'm just asking if you knew he was inactive or active. Because you said here tonight in this room that it was your expectation that he would become an active officer.
Sure.
So you did know.
I did know what?
that he was an inactive officer when you hired him.
I wasn't aware he was carrying a commission anywhere, and so I don't know whether he was active or inactive. You don't even have to carry a commission to be active. That's a matter of keeping your training up.
But again, you stated in this room just a few minutes ago that was your expectation.
My expectation is that if there were any deficiencies that he would rectify that, yes, sir.
But that's not what you said. You said it was your expectation for him to become an active officer.
If that's what was required, yes. That's correct.
Okay. And so, I again, I'm going back to a public information request from you, and I asked a specific question. This is what I asked. Mr. Gregory approved this release, which was not much of a release, but any and all emails, memorandums, correspondence, phone records, or any other internal documents or record concerning Michael R. Massey's hiring by the City of Shore Acres, his employment by the City, and his resignation or termination, including but not limited to his personnel file. The only response was his personnel file, which was his basically an application placed after his contract. And we go down to his background investigations conducted on Michael Massey. The City has no responsive documents. They didn't conduct a background check. Reference checks conducted on Michael Massey. The City has no responsive documents. No. Am I reading that correct? Right?
Yes, I have no document. That's correct.
And the teeth code check on Michael Massey, obviously we've heard tonight that the City has no a document. So I think we can say that this was not the City's finest hour.
I agree.
You know,
yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. There's better ways to do it. It wasn't done right. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, and that's I'll leave it right there.
Okay.
This was not the City's finest hour.
Okay.
And the facts are that Chief Michael R. Massey was hired by the City of Shore Acres, and he was not an active police officer. His certification to be an officer was not active. But those are the facts.
Well, that's what you said, and then you say that you have something to show that. I don't have that data. But the reality is, what do we do now about Mr. Massey?
Well, let's back up 1 minute. You don't have that data, but you're standing here telling us the results of your findings, and so I'm asking you, what investigation did you do?
I looked at your open record request and the response. I dealt with TCLOS about what's the effect of it. I talked to two levels of the people, including the regional person, Mr. Stout.
And so what's the effect? I still do not know whether he was an active or inactive police officer.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the conclusion that I reached.
Well, it may not matter if, and the City has indicated that Mr. Massey, while he worked here, did not issue any citations,
right,
and he did not arrest anyone.
Right.
And the City has no record of any hours he worked.
I don't know that. I guess that's
part of the public information request that you approved. Okay. They have no records of any hours he worked. And we paid them a substantial amount of money while we were paying another person. So I think, I'll leave it at that, but for the council, this was not the City's finest hour.
All right.
Are there any other questions at this time?
I have one question and one point of clarification. My first question, Mr. Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know this has been a fun exercise and a learning experience. Mm-hmm. The bottom line, it is what it is. It's been what it's been.
Right.
In your legal opinion,
yeah,
whose responsibility was it to ensure that that L1 was completed and filed in an appropriate manner of time?
Probably the L1 would have been filed by the chief if it had been an L1, but the letter, I think, probably should have come from the city administrator. I think that's a fair answer. That's what Mr. Stout told me, and that's their administrative rule, and he's the enforcer of it, so I take him at his word.
Thank you very much. And as far as my point of clarification, I just wanted to clarify that council did approve the appointment of Mr. Massey to be our interim chief of police, and that was based on interviews conducted by David Stahl, Matt Weber, and Rick Moses, and that's what the recommendation was given to council. So we did not, as was said by David Stahl, council themselves did not sit down and have an interview process with the candidates. Part of council, but not council in its entirety. We just went on what their findings and recommendations were to us. So I just wanted to make that very clear to all of you. And thank you so much, Mr.
Yes,
Gray.
Right.
Appreciate it.
All right. Before we move on, are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I do have one based upon what the Alderman Snell just said. She just said that Chief Massey was hired based upon interviews from three people, and then council discussed, right? Somehow council hired him after that. And the response from the city, the official response that you approved and that David sent, was that there are no responsive documents to my request for those items. Was all of this was just in the air, nothing written, no emails, no phone calls. I mean, there was no documentation of this?
What I do when I have, when we prepare one of those things is say, here's the question, what documents do you have responsive to this question?
Right.
What I was furnished is what I furnished to the Attorney General's office. And in response to you, yeah, that's all I can do. I don't come over here and go look through the files myself.
In your years, your 50 years as a city attorney, have you ever seen an instance where there were no responsive documents or requests like that?
I've seen a lot of instances in many cities where there's a lack of certain documents. But this was an interim, the reason why, this was an interim role, and so it was not handled in the same way that necessarily that a full-time chief might have been handled.
Correct. There was an initial contract, but right. Then he became a city employee at
right.
some time.
But to document all those discussions with him and the interviews, it's not unusual for that to have no written record, and that's all they have furnished is the tangible written records of things. I assume they didn't make a report, so therefore there wasn't anything to give you. There was nothing responsive. That's the nature of that kind of reply.
You've been pretty frank here tonight. You've got a feeling there's nothing out there?
I don't know anything.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just to kind of add on to it, you know, I understand council approved his appointment, but that's what the information given to council. It was presented to him that he was a qualified candidate for that position. The same way, I believe that same information was given to T-Close. If you presented him such a light, just if I called the DA for a certain way that I didn't want charges filed, I'd probably get it done. You know, if I give him a half a story, they were going to act on it. So it's information the way you present it, and also the information you give them. You know, also, this is not just T-Close requirements. There are requirements by the city ordinance in the hiring of people naming drug tests. Was he given a drug test?
Yes.
You know, do you have a record of that?
Yes.
Did you get a copy of that?
Get a copy of that. That is
protected. That is confident.
But anyway, and it's also his personal file. There's a lot of things. It's just not one sheet of papers reflected in this email to council from David Stahl. To say it's hogwash and to, you know, just kind of blow our, you know, questions off and stuff, it's absolutely wrong. They're spinning it to council a certain way. They're spinning it to a certain way, and I think it's absolutely wrong.
So the one paper is the letter that I didn't send. If I had done that, then...
But that one paper is a reflection of all of the things that had to be done.
That's the L1, sir. I'm referring to the letter that I could send in lieu of the L1, which would just be one sheet.
It is a one sheet when you do the letter.
Like you said, hogwash.
No, it's not hogwash. It is the way they accept it when it's an interim deal. They treat them differently. So they have a lesser standard when it's an interim appointment. But then you could file an L1, but you can also...
I'd be satisfied if you sent either one of them to test failed.
I understand. I mean, that's true.
Are there any other questions?
No,
yes, ma'am.
I would like some clarification on who you represent first, the City of Shore Acres or Mr. Stahl?
I represent the City of Shore Acres. I represent David Stahl.
You seem like it's a personal.
Well, you seem a little biased yourself. But,
yeah, this is
the other thing. I'm not biased on this. I'm not representing David Stahl.
Just one clarification. Thank you.
Mr. Ray?
Yeah.
Have you ever represented me in any legal matter before any jurisdiction?
Never. Know you a long time, but I've never represented.
Never represented me individually.
No.
And Mr. Van Arsdalen was the city attorney in Alago.
I knew Jim, but I was not the city attorney.
Are there any other questions? Yes.
I appreciate the citizens speaking out like this. This is what this is all about. I will say that I was part of the selection process when we did this. I was actually via phone because I was down in Corpus Christi working. But we had our interview with Mike Massey and numerous other candidates. And I've been a police officer for, I guess, 21 years or so. It's been a while. Still carrying credentials in Corpus Christi as a lieutenant. That's public record. Anybody can check that if they'd like. Just to let you know, the process thing about it, I hear everybody upset, but I will tell you some things that you don't know, that you don't see the other side. Mike Massey, I called around anybody I could to talk to friends to find out about these different individuals. Mike Massey was the one that I basically geared more towards, because when I talked to other people, because I know people in Pasadena, I talked to other officers.
I didn't go up to the higher ranking. I talked to foot soldiers like I was, that you know how you're led. I heard nothing negative about Mike Massey. You're always going to hear, well, that guy's a, you know what, and this guy's a great guy, and you have those back and forth. But when Mike Massey did come here, it is correct, he didn't make, when you asked Interim Chief Troy, he didn't make any arrests, anything of that nature. Okay. But the point is, it was very clear that we really wanted someone to come in here and audit, and I remember saying that word, I think, audit our police department. Our police department, you know, you saw only the face value of it. You really did. I worked for this police department. I used to drive my own motorcycle with my own fuel. That guy is a police unit for this city, for you, and for me. You know, when you put a badge and a gun on, as a deputy crows on their nose very quickly, it doesn't take but a second, you're a target. But the point is, he came in here, he did make an evaluation. Our property room was a disaster. There was things that just were going on over there that just weren't, you're only seeing one side. So I respectfully request or ask, stop and really get a little bit more of the information. Look at the other side. You know, this council, we're not perfect. We're not God, by no means. We're going to make mistakes. But I know I am, and I truly believe everybody sitting up here is doing the best they can for the citizens. These problems didn't happen overnight. It's come. We're trying to fix them. Things aren't going to get fixed overnight. This Massey thing, I understand it's been a problem. It wasn't handled properly. I'll be the first to raise a hand. Things got messed up. Let's, you know, I don't want to use JFK's saying, but you know, we've had a lot of problems. Let's start getting together and helping one another instead of the friction. I think there's a lot of friction out there. I listen to you because I'm paying attention. I'm writing notes. You know, I'm listening to you. I want to do what you want. But it seems like every time we have a council meeting, it's this, and this, and you upset. I understand, you need voice that. But, okay, now I said that, what do we need to do? Let's talk about this afterwards. What can we do to fix it? Can you help? Let's team up. Texans had a rough year. This time, let's buck up. Let's get together. I'm just asking for you to please, you need to dig a little deeper. You know, there's certain things, you know, the police department can't tell you certain things. Especially like an investigation or something's going on. I'm not relating back to what happened tonight, but I'm talking about, you know, it's not a smart move for police department to do. Well, I'll talk to you. Come on in. Let me show you everything. You know, you don't even know those things. But there was issues before. I will tell you for fact, because I talked to the officers, the morale was at, if you scale 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, it was a 0. It was horrible. And I'm going to put somebody on the spot right now. After Chief Massey was here about 2 or 3 weeks into that, Chief Harrison, how was the morale of your officers?
It was increasing.
And I know it was getting better all the time. And the morale now, that not because Massey's gone, and Chief Harrison, morale seems to be at an all-time high again. It needs to be back where it needs to be, which that means it's better for all of us. So I just ask you, somewhat be patient. We're working on it. We're doing the best we can. But if you've got comments or something you want to help out, hey, ring my door, grab me when you go up. I'll do anything I can to help you. But please work with us. Thank you all for your time.
If there are no other questions, move on to the next item on the agenda. Item 8.3. Thank you, Dick, for your participation. Appreciate it.